awesome day, isn't it? Very simple message. I think we've already had the application just before we got the message, and but that's our God. I'll just be honest with you. I first shared this message 34 years and 11 months ago. But I wrestled with it for probably 3 weeks. I was trying to tell God, give me something exciting, you know, something new, something. God, you've just done so much for me since Easter that I just want to share that. I want to talk about that, you know. And he'd take me back to this passage. Went back there a few times. And then last Sunday, Pastor Guy shared the communion, and he talked about Elijah going and putting the mantle on Elisha. And then Elisha sacrificing his implements for plowing, and then he followed and served Elijah. And so that's who we're going to actually look at. We're going to be in 2 Kings chapter 2. I suppose one of the things that we've, you know, Sue talked about in communion about Humpty Dumpty, I think some of us look a bit like him. But and then when you get about closer to my age, we get leaky faces, then we really start to see this is a Humpty Dumpty, all right? You know, so anyway, she made me feel right at home. Chapter 2, here's now Elijah getting ready to be taken up to heaven. It was no surprise because all the schools of the prophets, wherever they went, they knew what was going to happen. But like Alan Meyer says, you know, you got to be in the arena to play the game. So even though they knew what was going to happen, none of them were in the place to receive what was going to be left behind, that the mantle would be passed on. But Elisha followed him. And even with Elijah's discouraging, as we will read, he still pursued. He went with him. So we start off in verse 1, and it says, "And it came about, when the Lord was about to take up Elijah with a whirlwind to heaven, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal." So here's the place they're leading up. Exciting place, eh? How many love Gilgal? I remember, I'll leave that story. Gilgal is the place of circumcision. When the people came into the promised land, they crossed the Jordan and they got there and they said, this is it, we're finally into the promised land. And God says, wait, circumcision time. And circumcision is not a fun time, okay? And anyway, I won't talk too much about that. To put it into something that we can work with, maybe if you look at Deuteronomy 30, and verse 6, says, "Moreover, the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, in order that you may live." And that's the circumcision we're talking about. It's the cutting off of the things of the flesh. Okay? It's the things that are in our hearts that have grown when we were separated from God. And those things we have to let go of. And that's part of our conversion process. We got to say, yep, God, I'm happy to let it go. Sometimes we're not so happy, but we got to let it go. All right. And sometimes it's a bit patient, and sometimes it's a process in letting go, because we get 10 years down the line, we think, oh, shoot, I haven't let that go yet. You know. But it's that thing of letting it go. So Gilgal is the place of cutting off the flesh. And that's the start. That's where Elisha and Elijah went from. There's your starting point. A setting our hearts to love the Lord our God, to enthrone him in our hearts. It says, "And Elijah and Elisha, Elijah, sorry, said to Elisha, "Stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they went to Bethel. What's Bethel? Bethel is the house of God. If you look at, Google it, Wikipedia will tell you, Bethel is the house of God. Where we become the temple of the Holy Ghost. Where not only do we cut off the things of the flesh, but we say, "Jesus, come and be Lord." He is now the one reigning in our hearts. He's on the throne of our hearts. What we heard of a little earlier, that you know, there's an emptiness in us from the fall. We have a hole that only God can fill. Well, that's when we say we ask Jesus into our hearts. He comes and takes that place. Apart from Jesus, nothing else will satisfy that desire. And as we heard in communion time, it started when Eve thought, "There's something missing because I can be like God." And we try, humans try all the time to be God. We will never be God. We are made in the image of God, but we will never be all-powerful, all-knowing. We won't have the natural attributes of God. So to try to reach for that is an unending hole because we'll never be able to get it. So the key is to say, "No, I want God to be God, and I will let Him fill that place." And as I let Him be God, and I become His temple, He dwells in me, I find fulfillment. I'll find peace. I'll be able to go through the difficult times. I'll be able to take challenges. Okay, the next one, Jericho. So from Bethel, they go to Jericho. What comes to mind when you think of Jericho? The walls come tumbling down. There's all the people who've been to Sunday school. Okay, the anthropologists will tell you it's the longest consistently lived-in city in the world. That there's always been, as long as they can look back to 10,000 years B.C., that there were people living in Jericho. Okay. So it's an ancient city. But for us, when we think of Jericho, we think of the walls come tumbling down. And what's that? What's that to us today? Well, it's where we realize that we got to do things in the power of God. It's our obedience that releases the power of God to achieve what we cannot do. There's things that we are called upon to do, or that we changes that we want to see that we can't do, that we need God to come do. In our own lives and in society around us, in the places we live, we need God to come and empower us. And I think the parallel that would be us in our personal walk, saying, Jesus saying to us, "You go and wait in Jerusalem until the power of the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses." Right? We got to have that power. Otherwise, we will end up destroyed. I think one of the stories that really drove that home to me was the story of the former Prime Minister of Australia, Bob Hawke. Okay? He was the son of a minister. And as a young man, he went out to India on a mission trip. And he went out on a mission trip, but he came back an atheist. He saw all the suffering there, and he couldn't rationalize it. He couldn't handle what he saw. And then, I don't know whether he died a Christian. We don't know that. That's a personal thing. But in all his public life, he remained an atheist. And I thought, that's the danger of us trying to send people out when they don't have the power of the Holy Spirit. We run the risk of them becoming casualties that we can't rescue. And it's so vital that we say, no, we got it. I remember being in Fiji, I was with Youth with a Mission, and we had just started a work in the Cook Islands, and there was a beautiful Christian couple who lived there, and they were going up to Prairie Bible Institute for a course. They were going to do a master's degree up there. And they invited the young couple who were starting Youth with a Mission to come and stay in their home. Beautiful thing. So they, you know, win-win situation. They were going to Bible college. Somebody would house sit for them. And this young YWAM couple would have a place to live. Anyway, he gets to Fiji, and he finds out from his Christian brethren in Fiji that YWAM is charismatic, the Pentecostal people. And he goes, no, they're going to be speaking tongues in my house. And he panics. So he literally came, I saw him running up our path of the house, running. He was panicking. He came and he was saying, came to ask me, is it true? Is it true that you pray for people to be filled in the Holy Spirit in Youth with a Mission? And I said, oh, absolutely. I said, because we're committed to world missions. We cannot send people out without the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, wait until you receive power. Then you will be my witness. Yeah. And it's true for us today. If we're going to be effective, we really do need the Holy Spirit in our lives. And that's Jericho. We need to fight in the strength of the Lord. And the beauty about fighting in the strength of the Lord, it's His battle. We don't have to pick the battles. Okay, we only pick up what He's telling us to fight. If you want to get a hiding, go fight something that He didn't tell you to fight. Alright? So that's Jericho. And then, I think relevant to today, I didn't realize this was going to be key to today, but it's the Jordan. Beyond Jericho, they get to the Jordan. And there's a miracle there. See, that's verse 6. Elijah takes his mantle and he strikes the water, and the waters part. And the two of them walk across on dry ground, and they're into the wilderness. This is the opposite of them coming into the promised land. The crossing of the Jordan this time is leaving behind all the good things and walking out into the wilderness. It's the place where John the Baptist came out, and then he came and baptized. It's the place that Jesus went to after he was baptized and before he went into his public ministry. But it's this place of saying, all this that I have got from God is nothing. It's not going to hold me back from what He has for me to do. And it's that place of where, for Joseph, he didn't get to walk into the wilderness. He got put into jail. He went to jail for no fault of his own. Okay, he was accused of something he had not done, and he was thrown into prison. And for many of us, when we come into this place of going into the wilderness, that's some of what bewilders us. We think, what did I do to get here? You know, our first response is, I got to repent of my sin. And you look, what should I repent of? And I don't know. God's not convicting me of anything. I got no sin to repent of. So then why is it that? I think the guy called St. John of the Cross, he talked about the dark night of the soul. And this is what it is. This is the dark night of the soul, where God's presence seems to be missing. But you haven't sinned. You stand against the enemy. You take authority. And you bind him and you tell him to get lost and all sorts. And nothing. Still. It's just dark. And you think, what's going on? And that's the type of feeling Joseph would have been going through. He'd had beautiful dreams and he thought it was coming close. You know, he was in Potiphar's house. But God was going to take him from being a servant for Potiphar to become the prime minister of Egypt. God had something for him to do that God was preparing him for. So that place or that night of the soul is a place of God preparing us. For some it's long, For some, it can be such a short time. I don't know how many years Joseph was in prison. But I can just, in being honest with you, there's something I've got, and I can say, God brings you out. I've been through a few years, quite a few years, of wrestling with that. Just wishing I had something to repent of so I could feel God's forgiveness again. You know, I say, I just wish I could say, oh, just forgive me of this thing, then I'll understand why I don't sense you like I used to. But since Easter Friday night, we had a service here, God's been doing things. All of a sudden, things have changed for me. The darkness is going away. I feel the wind in my sails again. Okay. And it's an awesome place to be. And I can stand and testify and say, God will get you through. The dark night doesn't last forever. Okay? But it's God. The exciting thing is that He's preparing. So there's an anticipation in my heart that I've never had for a long time. I have a similar feeling sharing this word today as I did 34 years ago. In that time, I was a younger person. This was in Surabaya in Indonesia. I walked into this church. I was blown away. I was used to sharing one-on-one in evangelism. I was used to talking to little groups, home groups. But I didn't. This is the first time I had this word. I was so nervous because there was this huge auditorium plus two overflow rooms with video connection. And I'm going, God, this is a big responsibility. I'm talking to a lot of people here. And so there's a real, you had butterflies in your stomach. But I can honestly say that I came today and I'm just as nervous. Because God said, this is the word for today. That I was to share this here. And I thought, if He wrestled with me that much, because I have wrestled with Him to try and give me another one, that actually He does want it. He's got a purpose for it. All right? And so I want to just encourage you. I know that I've come to a real good place. The dark night of the soul has nothing to do with cutting off things of the flesh. It has nothing to do on whether you have the power of the Holy Spirit or not, or whether God dwells. Don't question your salvation. God dwells in you. Okay? You are filled with the Holy Spirit. None of that has gone. Okay, this is a season to just trust Him. Keep doing the last thing He told you to do. Just keep doing that. Don't try and find new direction in the dark. That's the wrong place to look for direction. Okay, just hold on to it. I remember listening to an old black preacher up in Hawaii. And he was speaking on the... He used to have run a service on the beach. And there'd been a big storm and a few yachts had smashed on the beach and stuff. And he was giving his message and he said, you know, when the storm hits, you don't need a big yacht to save you. You don't need to know all the right theology and everything else. He said, you just grab a piece of Jesus, just a little piece. What you know to be true of Him, just grab that little piece and hold on. It'll get you to shore. All right. And when we're going through the dark night, it's not about how much we know, how we feel. It's that little bit that we can say, thank you, Jesus, I know. It's the recounting of His faithfulness, the little things that He did. And that's what will get you through. That's what keeps you sane day to day. So God wants us to get through. I think what we've had prayer for earlier is so right. There are those, because the whole church is moving to a new level in Waikuku. This building is just a sign of where God's taking us. All right, it's a new thing. And what He's going to do for that is each of us have got to rise in our levels of anointing. Okay, so some of us are going to go through some dark nights. And it's not about your salvation or about your worth. Please hold on to that. Remember, it's about God's intention to release you on a newer level of anointing. Because God's got plans for Waikuku. Amen? Right. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you that you take us, broken vessels, and you don't just make us whole and fill the gaps, but Lord, you make us vessels for your purpose, vessels for you to reach the world you put us in. And we say thank you for that privilege. God, I pray today that you give each of us here the grace to prosper in your preparation. That as you prepare us for what you're bringing about in our midst, that we would prosper, that we wouldn't fold, that we wouldn't give up and walk away. But God, that we would go through the darkness with you and come into that place where you want us to stand. So we look forward to what you're doing for us. In Jesus' name, amen.